All right. The first question I've got is, talk about the process by which you joined the LA Chargers. And I know Al Davis was involved in you going to the Citadel. What role did he play with you getting to the Chargers?
Well, I think he basically signed with the Chargers in LA before I did. I was the 17th round draft pick for the Redskins, and also not 17th, their 17th pick, and the 17th for the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think one of the reasons that I got taken was because of Al Davis, and you know, when he got me at the Citadel in 1956, he was influential there. But and let me just say again, one of the best things that ever happened to me. But he was there. He was the receiver coach, and I was drafted as a receiver. But I played my whole career as a backup. I started as a linebacker with the Chargers in 60. Then when I went to Buffalo, it was a backup deal. But I played special teams for 11 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What were your first impressions of that Charger camp? Everything obviously was new league, new team, new teammates. What do you recall from that camp?
Well, mostly that I knew a guy here in Charleston, South Carolina, when I was getting out of the Citadel, and he played for the New York Giants, Big John Kennedy, years and years and years ago. And he just said to me, he said, just remember something. When you go to pros, what you're going to do is make sure that you just keep your mouth shut and do what you're supposed to do, and they don't give a damn about what you did in college. That doesn't matter anymore. And I just... I live with that, and it worked out very well for me when I went to camp. But just like everybody else, you have no idea what's going on. And, you know, in college, I played against in the Southern Conference. And then you go to the pros, and they're bigger and faster, and they hit a little bit harder. And they it's just a different lifestyle, and you really have to get adjusted to it. And the most important thing is that you have to pay attention and get in your playbook and learn, because they didn't, in those days, they didn't have time. We only had 32 guys on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think five on the taxi squad, and that was it. And if you screwed up, they just cut you.
Yeah.
There was no, it isn't like today, well, I'm going to play again next year. Hell, you never knew. You went to training camp every year to learn how to, or to make the team.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay.
But that to me was the learning experience that we had. Because, guys, we got paid through the season. We played the 14 games, and you got 14 checks, and then it's over. There was, in the off season when there's no money, I mean, you're on your own.
Right. Right. Hmm. Okay. Well, I, from what I understand, you made friends quickly. I talked to Margaret Peters several years ago, and she told me about you staying at their house up in L.A. and how you had invented party is the way she described it.
Well, you work all day, and after work, you have to have a libation of some sorts. And mine has always been, and still is to this day, is Budweiser. And so I just had to teach everybody how to drink it. that was my job, when we went to a party or anything.
Uh-huh. Well, from what I understand, you did a good job.
it was a pleasure teaching everybody.
Good. that year, first year in LA, the Chargers had a really successful team. Sid Gilman was, really kind of the class of the league in terms of head coaches, and Baron Hilton very similarly in terms of owners. You had a winning record, won the Western Division title, but still drew less than 16,000 fans a game. Were you guys concerned at that point that the league or the team might not survive?
no, because we have Baron Hilton, who is our owner. And, you know, this guy had money he hadn't even spent yet. So we didn't have to worry about that. But the league, you know, if you look back, all the owners in the American Football League, they were all solvent, every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was never a problem. You know, one of the great things about it is we played in the Coliseum when the Rams were away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that was our schedule. Our schedule was just totally around the Los Angeles Rams. So when we went in to play Houston in December, I guess it was, and if we beat them, we play in the championship game. And there were 8,000 people that went to the Coliseum, and it looked just like, you know, the people come every day just to see if there's something going on.
Right.
So we had a little bit of a delay. And Kurt Gowdy and Paul Chrisman were the announcers for ABC at the time. And what they did is they moved all the people from the one side to the other side of the field, so it looked like they were on television because the cameras were all on one side. So they moved everybody on the other side of the field, so it looked like, you know, there's a hell of a lot of people there.
All right, interesting. But,
you know, it's I'm not going to disillusion people, and it's just the way I feel. People, you know, players. Today, a lot of them play to the crowd. We play for our jobs and for our team,
mm-hmm.
and for the guys around us. Most of the time, you never heard the people in the stands. I'm not saying that is the way it is today because there's 100,000 people in there. You got to hear them sometime.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're concentrating on the game, you don't think about who the hell's in the stands. It doesn't matter if there wasn't anybody there. Just remember the Jets did that one game with Miami. It went that with the silent game where there were no announcers.
Uh-huh.
Hell, uh-huh. And I was an announcer for 45 years. It's one of the best games I've ever watched. You know why? Because the announcers didn't make a mistake. There weren't any.
good. You know, the Chargers moved to San Diego after that 1960 season, and the team immediately had to put an upper deck on Balboa Stadium. You touched on this briefly, but I know you worked construction on that stadium project with Volney Peters and a few other guys.
Pretty lad. I was in the same hole digging put the pile onto with Ernie Ladd, and guess who did all the work? It sure as hell wasn't Ernie Ladd, I'll tell you that. But you got to, again, you know, we didn't have off-season jobs.
Right.
You know, with the Chargers, they didn't pay us any money. You know, once your contract was done, you know, Sid Dillman did a great thing. Let me go back to the first year and the years I was with San Diego, because there were a lot of guys that when he coached the Rams were broke after the season was over with. So what the Chargers did is they kept 25% of your contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, you had it coming to you. So you got 14 checks of 1/14th every week of 75%. And then the final check of the year, so guys would walk away with some money, they gave you the 25%.
Mm. Okay.
And then the 1/14th. So hell, when I was done, you know, I made $8,000 my first year. So you figure that out, and I had some money. And, you know, and gas was only 13 cents, I think.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have to worry about that. But you know, when we went to San Diego, everybody worked construction. I mean, the guys that were there, and because it was a hell of a job.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it was nice to build the upper deck at Balboa and then go play in it.
Right.
You would stand on the field before the game, like I was saying. I helped on that. Color over there that helped it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we were more proud of the fact that we were working construction than when we were playing for the Chargers.
Huh. Interesting. How do you recall San Diego's reception for the Chargers being when you guys got there?
Oh, it was wonderful because, you know, if you go back and look at it, a lot of people in San Diego invested in the San Diego Chargers.
Uh-huh.
George Parmigiano is a guy that comes to our mind, my wife and I, because we used to go to his restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But George is one of those guys that, you know, he had you paid, I don't know how much, it wasn't a lot of money, but you paid money and you had like 1% or whatever it was of the San Diego Chargers. And so, you know, these guys, you know, made it possible for us basically to come to San Diego, and, you know, even though Baron Hilton had all that money, but they looked for investments, local investments, and then, you know, we got to meet people, would, you know, after the game, instead of going to bars and stuff, we'd be invited to people's homes where they were having a party, and, you know, right. It was kind of neat. Right. So you're involved with, you know, you're involved with the people that were involved in the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a collection of photos from Pat Blackmore, and there are a handful of them of Chargers at parties, and I think you're in there once or twice as well. Parties at his home.
You should be in there in every one of them. What do you mean once or twice? What the hell's the matter with you? Look at them all. I'm in there somewhere. I mean, they're laying on the floor, or I'm standing up at the bar. One of the two. I was there.
Yeah. Well, they spread the camera around, so you weren't in all the shots, but.
Okay.
You know, a lot is said about the Chargers' offenses, obviously, with Sid Gilman and Hadel and Allworth and guys like that, Paul Lowe, Keith Lincoln. But the Chargers had some really dominant defenses in the early 60s, and especially in that 1961 season with the Seven Bandits. What do you think that it was that made those teams so good, those defensive units?
Well, you got to understand something. Back in the 60s, we only played two defenses, man-to-man and zone.
Uh-huh.
And there was no intricate defenses like today. And you played 4-3. Kansas City or Dallas, Texas, whichever one, they're the ones that started the 3-4. But, you know, our defenses were so good. If you go back to 60... It's either 61 or 62 that we still hold the record. It will never mm-hmm. be broken because it was done in 14 games. We had 49 interceptions in 1 year.
Right, that was 61. Yeah,
61, and I think I had five of them.
Uh-huh.
Not sure, but I may not have had any. But I'm going to stick with five. Sounds really good to me. But you know, we were so good. Because our defensive line, Ladd and Faison and Neary and, you know, all those guys that play defense, and then our linebackers were outstanding, which I happen to be one of them. Throw that into. But, you know, they got us, the defense got the ball back to the offense. And when you have guys like, Lincoln and Lowe and, Hadel, and, you know, these guys, and Kemp was a quarterback at that time.
Right.
You know, these guys just got the job done. The defensive guys got the job done, got the ball back in great position. But it was, you know, again, we look at teams, Todd, that only had 32 players on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the things that happens is that we stayed healthy.
Uh-huh.
And as long as you stay healthy, you can play with anybody.
Right. Right. Well, that's interesting that you say, because I know that in 63, the Chargers' first and only championship season, one of the main reasons that Sid took you guys out to Boulevard was...
Excuse me, Bob, I'll tell you, but one time, for some reason or other, and I don't know if I myself will, because I paid the bill, you're cracking up on that last question.
Okay. You know, following up on your point of staying healthy... I know that Sid wanted to work you guys a little bit harder in training camp in 63 because in 62 you had a rash of injuries. And so he took you out to Boulevard in the Rough Acres Ranch.
I want to forget about that, Todd. I want to forget about it.
You know, it's funny because half the people that I talk to say just what you said. Couldn't stand it, hated it. Want to forget it. The other half say, you know what, it was the greatest camp I ever went to.
Well, those are the guys that were mentally ill at that. It's the greatest camp I ever went to. Because they probably never got out of the house when they were kids. No, that was a terrible, terrible experience. But, you know, I guess being away from family and away, I just don't understand how, you know, being away from the fans of San Diego helped us.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we played well. We played well in 63 and won the championship. So, you know, if you go back and look at it and not try to remember it, it was a great experience.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Don't ask me anymore. I don't want to talk about it. I came in one night, I'll just tell you. The guys, we had a couple of cocktails, and the guys put a rattlesnake in my bed. I put the covers back. There it was. And I'm telling you, I hate snakes to this day and spiders, and I don't want any part of it. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. You hear me?
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
All right.
Well, then I will ask you one other 63 question. If camp was so miserable, what made that team so dominant? And why were they so much better in 63 than in the four other years that the Chargers won the AFL Western Division title?
You broke up a little. You talking about the defense or the offense?
Just the team in general. What made that 63 team so much better than, you know, 60, 61, 64, and 5?
We were healthier, and that's when we had, I think, Tobin Rote was the quarterback. Was that true then?
Yes.
And, you know, John was a backup and learning, and we stayed healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about being healthy. If you look today, and there's going to be the 50th Super Bowl.
Right.
Todd, if you look back and, you know, just think about it, that every single offense or AFC team and NFC team that went to the Super Bowl, except for one, and I'll explain, three things are paramount. One, they were healthy teams. And it'll be the same thing that happens this year. The healthiest teams on the AFC and the NFC will go. Number two is their defenses were ranked either in sixth at worst. So they had great defense. And the third one, which is really the most important one, is they had a quarterback, except for when the Boston Patriots went with Tony Eason. And he wasn't very good.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Tony, but he wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And if you take a look at all the Super Bowls, that'll tell you the ones that go there. And I could not tell you who's going to win it. I could just tell you who's going to go there. And if you take a look, I bet you that those three things will be paramount with the two teams that go from the NFC and the AFC.
Okay.
And the thing about us in 63, we were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, we beat the hell out of everybody. And then we got in the championship game against Boston and just annihilated them. But that was good. And then the next year it was Buffalo, and we beat the two in a row. But so now we have to look at it in retrospect, it was all me. It had to be me. Because, you know, you laugh at that.
Well, you know, if the game's all about field position and you being the punter, then of course.
Thank you very much. That's not very hard. See, you're thinking, Todd, and it works out perfectly.
There you go. There you go.
But I'll tell you one other thing that you may not know.
Mm-hmm.
That in the history of the National Football League and in professional football, that I am the only guy that's ever played on three championships in a row.
Yeah? Yeah? I don't...
You hear me?
Yeah, I don't doubt that. Plenty of guys with two in a row, but I can't think of anybody else with three.
Well, it's 63 with the Chargers, and it's 64 and 5 with the Bills.
Right. Right.
And our championship shares were just absolutely phenomenal. I think when we won it with the Chargers, we got $786 was our share.
Very nice. That's probably why you're on the golf course now, huh?
Well, you know, again, gas was only 13 cents, so it wasn't so bad.
Sure. So tell me, you leave the champion Chargers in 63, and then you go to Buffalo. What were the immediate differences that you saw between those teams when you first got to Buffalo, other than the weather, of course?
No, the weather was beautiful this summer. Just remember one thing. I wasn't traded or anything. I was just caught outright. I was caught the day before training camp. Sid Gilman just said, basically, basically, I've had enough of your crap, and you're leaving. Uh-huh. So I got cut. My wife and I were in San Diego. We just bought a house.
Mm-hmm.
We had a baby, and I don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So it just got it just got a little bit ridiculous. But the day before the time ran out, the Buffalo Bills called and asked me if I would what's the matter with me, because I think they waived me injured. And they said, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "Nothing. Absolutely nothing." So I went, and there's another one that's, when you look at your life, some of the moves, it's the best, one of the best moves that ever happened to me is being able to go to Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And not because of the championships, because I played there for another 7 years, and the people I met, in the business I was in, and all the things that have happened to me in my life,
mm-hmm.
Were good. Mm-hmm. Both San Diego and Buffalo. So, I had the best 11 years of anyone I know.
Yeah. That's a pretty neat thing to be able to say.
Well, it just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It isn't weather that makes a town, it's people.
Right.
And I still have a lot of great friends in San Diego, especially, when you look at downtown, the Old Town Mexican Cafe, J.D., John uh-huh. Francis Darlin,
yeah.
that owns that, and the courtroom, JDM, that's where I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And just San Diego is one of those places that is so beautiful to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So I did almost the opposite. I now live in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
So I went from one ocean to the other and very happy.
Yeah. Good. Good. So, the Bills, the Chargers were known mainly for their offense in 63. The Bills in 64 and 65 were really more known for their defense. From your perspective, what was the what were the keys to the Buffalo defense?
Well, again, we went into the championship both times with solid people. Our defensive line. I don't think we gave up a rushing touch and rushing touchdown that entire year.
Uh-huh.
Until I think Sestak, McDowell, Dunaway, and Tippy Day. And our linebackers, Tracy Jacobs and Stratton. I mean, mm-hmm. these guys, Mike Stratton is one of the best linebackers that ever played the game.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one, if you remember, knocked out Lincoln.
Oh, sure.
In the 64 championship game. So, we were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing part about it is in that championship game in 65 in San Diego, we, on the opening kickoff, we lost our best offensive lineman, which was Billy Shaw, who's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
He got knocked out on the opening kickoff. He was in the wedge. And George Flint, at 235 pounds, had to come in at guard and block Ernie Ladd all day.
Right.
Which they did. But, it's, again, it honest to God, Todd, it goes back to if you're healthy,
mm-hmm.
and you can still, you go into a championship game with the same people you played the whole year with, you got the best chance to win.
Yeah.
That's why I could never understand that when we played the Chargers in San Diego in 65, we were a 17-point underdog.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, who the hell, those odds makers, they must be broke. Because the guy asked me one time, the guy from Sports Illustrated says, "What do you think about the odds that you had?" I said, "We're going to be lucky to come in third." I said, "What the hell are you talking about? There's only two teams." I said, "I know. But if you're getting 17 points,
uh-huh.
that means you are crap."
Yeah. 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 Well, I figure that, Paul Lowe was the one of the AFL MVPs in 65, and you guys had knocked Lincoln out of the game in 64, and Lance hadn't been in 65, so I don't know. I guess they figure with all their offensive weapons going, the Chargers had a better shot. 17 points, though, you're right, is a pretty bold statement by any odds maker.
Well, can I tell you something? If you look at the odds today, I don't know of any team that when you see it in the Sunday paper or whatever paper, and the odds of this game today, seriously, think about it. You ever see a 17-point underdog?
No.
Come on. I mean, that was somebody who was really absolutely stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like to have met that dingbat. But anyway, that just inspires the hell out of a football team. Uh-huh. I could tell you that this is a true story on 65. I was just special teams. I punted, and the defensive line again was Sesak, McDowell, Dunaway, and Day. And so we got them shut out. We're going in the fourth. And I said, because I was still living in San Diego at the time, I said, guys, we got to win this game. I got to live here. I don't give a damn. We're going to win it. And honestly, God, four guys were sitting together on the bench. You know, guys sat on the bench then, like they do now, the rest. And they looked up to me, and almost in unison, they said, they're not going to score. I went, I beg your pardon? They said, they're not even going to score. I sat on my helmet, watched the game, and watched them kick everybody's ass. And they did.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So here's one. You know, the 63 Chargers are probably the first team that some people think, the first AFL team that some people think could have beaten the reigning NFL champion. And honestly, a lot of people say the same about the 64 Bills with their defenses. What are your thoughts? You know, was the AFL comparable to NFL in quality by that point? And what do you think a 63 Charger team or a 64 Bills team would have done against an NFL champion?
Oh, you know, if that's, you know, everybody talks about it. They would like to have seen it happen. Mm-hmm. You're talking about something that happened 50 years ago.
Right.
I mean, we were not, some of our guys were big as they are, but they, you know, were out of shape. Hell, we went to training camp to get in shape.
Right.
We didn't work all year round. Hell, mm-hmm. everybody had jobs again.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had 6 weeks of two-a-day practices. We played six preseason games. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
We worked our buns off to get in shape, and we got in shape about halfway through the season.
Right.
But to sit there and look at the guys now that are playing as good as they are,
uh-huh.
as big as they are, as fast as they are.
No. I think you misunderstood. I'm asking about the 63 NFL champion or the 64 NFL champion. How would the 63 Chargers?
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that what I'm saying to you is what we had. This day we could have beaten I always thought that our 64 team, the 66 team was the first Super Bowl, which was the first championship game after the 66 season.
Right.
But I thought our 64 and 5 teams would have given the Green Bay Packers a better run for their money than the Kansas City Chiefs did.
Uh-huh.
But the 63 team, it's, honest to God, it's apples and oranges. You can't just sit there and say, well, Jesus, we had a hell of a team. Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we would have had the weapons, as many weapons as the NFL teams had, because you got to remember something. In those years, they basically had the first choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would like to sit there and say to you, hell yeah, we'd have beaten them. So I'm going to say it. Hell yeah, we would have beaten them. 63, 4, and 5, we'd have beaten any of the NFL teams.
Okay.
Does that sound better?
Hey, whatever works, you know?
I've talked to guys on both teams about it, and they said, you know, the only thing that these guys, and they were smart enough to realize it, is, God, we'd have loved to have had a chance.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is the realistic part of it. We would really have loved to have had a chance to do that, to play them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it doesn't determine how good you are, because, as we know, what's that old saying? Someone said, in any given Sunday?
Right.
Or right. Saturday now, or Monday, or Thursday, or Friday. What the hell is it? I don't know. Every one of us would have loved to have had the chance.
You know, a couple of your teammates really stick out to me as interesting characters, not only for their on the field accomplishments, but their off the field stuff as well. And I'd like to just mention a couple of names and get your responses on these guys. One is Ernie Ladd.
Ernie Ladd, when he came to camp, I looked at him and I said, my God, who could ever block this guy? 6'9", 321 pounds, and had a 38-inch waist. Are you crazy? And then got into wrestling with Sammy Stein, and then did what he did afterwards. It takes a special character, inside character, to do something like he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was that good a guy all the time. It wasn't something that just happened, that lightning hit him or whatever. He was just a really great person the first time you ever met him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no surprise to what he did, what he accomplished in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cookie Gilchrist.
Cookie, I'll tell you what. First time I met him, he scared the hell out of me. Yeah. I just didn't think that anybody that big could run that fast and be that good.
Yeah.
And by God, he was. And Cookie was one of those guys that, you got to remember one thing about him. When he came out of high school, he went to the Canadian League because in those days, you couldn't play professional football until your college year would have graduated.
Right.
So he spent his time in Canada and then came down. And when he first came to the Buffalo Bills, I wasn't there yet. He came the year before I went, I think. I think he came in 63. But he was on all the special teams. I mean, he loved it. But he loved to run over people and just, he loved to play the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just, he called me one time because in a book they asked me about him, and I said, that guy's nuts. What I meant was in a very good way.
Uh-huh.
He's crazy. He played that way. He lived that way. And so he called me on the phone, and he said, hey, McGuire. I said, Cookie. I hadn't heard from him in about 8 months or whatever. Uh-huh. He said, I'm going to sue your ass. I said, excuse me? He said, defamation of character. I said, what the hell are you talking about? He said, you said in a book that I was crazy. I said, well, Cookie, think about it. Read it again. And now tell me and call me back and tell me if you want to sue me. And if you do, good. Because I don't have any money. And you can sue me all you want. I'm not paying. And he called me back. He said, I'm sorry, I was too irrational. I should have never said what I said. We were just great friends.
Uh-huh.
Just great friends. But he scared the hell out of people when he played. He'd rather run over someone than run to try to avoid them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as big as he was, he can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last name is Tom Sestak.
Oh, man. He was my roommate, my partner in business. I got to tell you, I think he's one of the best defensive tackles that's ever played the game.
Yeah.
And he played the last couple of years on one leg. He couldn't practice. He'd always, right after the game, War Memorial Stadium, we'd go out, get a couple cases of beer, Budweiser, and come back because he had to be in the tub, put ice on his knee for 2 hours after a game, and we'd sit there and just drink, and then I'd meet my wife and everybody else like 3 hours after we got him out of the tub.
Mm-hmm.
He's just one of those guys that just could play the game.
Yeah.
Great guy. Yeah. And great friend.
That's good. Looking at it now, the AFL seemingly gets overlooked for its accomplishments, and I think there are probably a lot of players that deserve Hall of Fame recognition that have not gotten it to this point, and at this time maybe never will. Why do you think the AFL gets overlooked like that?
We we have a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame. It's all about today and what's going on. And our offensive lineman Billy Shaw, who's in the Hall of Fame, God deserved it. Billy was the best we ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things you've got to earn, and there are a lot of people that don't remember. You're talking about 50 years ago,
right?
I'll just give you a classic example. We just had our anniversary in Buffalo this year, and we couldn't honor the 64 championship team last year because Ralph Wilson had passed away, our owner.
Uh-huh.
So we honored him at our dinner, and so this year we brought the 64-65 Buffalo Bills back, and we all just said, that the 64-65 championship teams of the Buffalo Bills are the only championships the Buffalo Bills have ever won. And everybody said, how the hell can you say that?
Mm-hmm.
The Bills went to four straight Super Bowls, 91, mm-hmm. 2, and 3. And I said, yeah, but they didn't win them.
Right.
To win a championship, you have to win the last game.
Mm-hmm.
They never did. I think the Bills got a little upset with us, but, it's our alumni, and this is what we believe, and it's true. We won the only championships in Buffalo in professional sports.
Sure.
Basketball, hockey, baseball, and football.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, we had great guys on the team, but, now it's a little, Todd, it may be, probably late for these guys. And guys don't want to, our guys, the guys that I know that I play with, I don't think really would ever want to go into the Hall of Fame posthumously.
Yeah.
It may be a tough thing to say, but I just think it's true. I knew the caliber and the quality of these guys. And, just winning the championship and going back and see the people in Buffalo, can I tell you something? That was enough.
Mm-hmm.
For 99% of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the true guys that really deserve to be in the Hall of Fame got in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. All right. Last two questions. Your favorite Charger memory and your favorite Bills memory.
My favorite what?
Charger's memory.
The day I got cut. In Beverly, and I went to Buffalo and got more money. No. No. My favorite San Diego Charger memory was probably the fact that it's for 4 years that I made the team.
Yeah.
You never knew until the Tuesday at 4 o'clock of the final week before you started playing.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes down to how many guys are going to make the team,
mm-hmm.
and to go in to see that your name wasn't on the cut list, that you didn't have to go see the coach,
mm-hmm.
and knowing the guys, and it's all on both teams. It's so easy. It's the people I met, and they're still all great friends. And that's something you just can't put a value on. And you can't say that, the championship game was great. Yeah, but it was great because we all were together.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a little corny, but it's the people I met and the people I still know.
Mm-hmm.
And those friendships just never died. So it's the people on both teams.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, unless you can think of anything that you would
You're writing a book?
No. You know what? I've got my AFL website, and I'll post this to the website. And I already did a book on the Chargers of the '60s, and there are my friend Jeff Miller's writing books about the Buffalo Bills all the time, and so he's got those guys covered. So. I think we're good in terms of books, but there are plenty of AFL fans out there still, and they check in at my website and look at whatever the different articles are that I post and listen to the interviews and things like that, and brings back a lot of good memories for people.
I think the most important thing is if you can end it with that everybody is still grateful thankful that we had the fans that we had in San Diego during the years that I was there and continue to be the fans of the San Diego Chargers. And I would really hope that they, some way they can work it out to stay there, because to lose a franchise like that with the fans that you have there, mm-hmm. it's not fair.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair. They just gave up too much for so long to not be rewarded with a football team. Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing. And then the Buffalo, obviously, last year sold the Buffalo Bills for $1.3 billion. And that man said, we're staying here.
Uh-huh.
Ralph Wilson wanted the Bills to stay in Buffalo, and we're going to stay there. And if and a team wasn't sold to the owner today, the team wasn't sold unless he agreed to keep the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And that just shows what the owners, the old owners were like. Ralph Wilson was one of the originals. Mm-hmm. And the Bills are going to stay in Buffalo. And I hope San Diego stays there.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Well,